The University of Detroit Mercy presents another brand new episode of Ask the Professor. Today's program was recorded using Zoom video conferencing technology.
The University Tower chimes, bringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today, including, for the first time ever, live in the flesh, it's Professor Jeff Boats.
Oh, wow. What an honor to be among you finally and not some ghostly voice calling from beyond.
That's right.
I've been in the flesh.
Plato's heaven, Jeff. Come on. Right? You're hanging out with forms. That's what mathematicians do.
Oh, no, you're actually in the cave.
No.
I'm in Plato's heaven and I'll rush him.
Jeff, I've been telling your calculus story from March 12, 2020, pretty much all day. I appreciated reading that when I got up this morning, because, of course, my story is that I had just gotten a new phone and was doing data transfer all evening. And by the time I turned my new phone on at around 10 p.m. Eastern, it was blowing up like you wouldn't believe, because everybody was calling and texting.
I walk into the calculus class and we're discussing about whether or not we ought to have a class and whether it'll be the last day. And then 5 minutes in, everybody's phone goes off at the same time and that's it.
That was it. That's all it took.
A cosmic sign, I suppose.
I would say so. Many grim milestones coming up in the coming weeks here. Someone who doesn't even know the meaning of the term grim milestones, Professor Heather Hill.
Oh.
What does that even mean?
I was wondering what that was going to mean as an introduction to anybody.
Exactly.
What to say to that? But
Heather is very positive. She doesn't. She just, you know, let's start the second year of the pandemic. Let's go. Let's go forward, right?
What? Hey, I got an appointment for my vaccine on campus.
Hey,
just got it. Yeah. Has everybody else done that? You doing that?
Well, yeah. I already got one shot of a 2-shot vaccine, so I didn't sign up for one on campus.
Right.
So I would have preferred getting the 1-shot deal, but whatever. You know.
Yeah. I've gotten both of the Moderna, so I'm now 1 week away from being fully covered.
That's awesome.
Although I have heard and read that apparently women are having more of a reaction to the shots than men are.
Really?
Oh. If anything, my wife had tough reactions after the second shot.
Yeah.
And anyone who has had the disease is having a much more profound reaction to it.
Yep. That makes sense.
I got the Moderna too. I've gotten the first shot of that.
I didn't even notice the first one. The second one, my arm was sore the next morning, but that was about it.
Yeah. Just more rampant sexism in our society.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. It's sexist vaccine.
Right. Well, I do think there are studies that have been done that when it comes to developing vaccines or medicines, I mean, you scientists can confirm this or not, that they tend to think about males as the standard. So rather than, right?
That's absolutely right. Historically, they didn't want to do clinical trials on women of childbearing age, just in case.
Since thalidomide in 61, yeah.
Right, so that was primarily historically why that is true.
That so I don't. It took but so we'll long see. To get money for breast cancer research.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right. But I'm pumped. I'm ready.
Yep.
Let's do this.
I'd rather one point that if they're giving the same dose to men and women, men being generally weighing more than women, the dose is actually higher for women. I guess they don't do an adjustment based on weight. I don't know. That was one explanation. That was one explanation for women being more affected. With the side effects.
There are lots of different reasons that will be explored for many decades to come surrounding COVID-19. A man who's basically almost there, we just heard, it's Professor Jim Tubbs is with us today.
Hello.
Just a few more days. You could just walk around pretending like the world's back to normal, Jim.
Well, Jim,
normal?
Depends on who I'm around too.
Right.
Continuing around the horn, Professor Stephen Manning is also here with us today. Your new dog is next to you right now, live.
No, he snapped at me and went off to growl around his food dish, I guess. Hmm. He's got some, what do they call it? resource guarding issues. We got him when he's about six, and we got him, and the previous owners had done some good things, but they instilled some very bad habits in him, which are very hard to get out of him in, you know, the 2 weeks we've had him or something, but we continue to work on it. And by the way,
what is that? Oh, okay.
Just had the second one this morning.
Hey, it beats showing the card.
Yeah, I'm still not going to Texas.
Probably a good choice.
Me neither.
You know, I checked online, Stephen, actually, and it is the food aggression thing is something that huskies are particularly prone to because they're pack animals.
Yes.
So there can be competition for. I mean, the competition for food is signaling who's alpha, right?
We've read possible solutions to this, one of which is very oddly, you stay in the room as you pour his food into the dish and you stay in the room with him. You would think that he would be most threatened by that rather than just putting it in and leaving. But we've tried that with some success.
Coming to us live from Carlsbad, California, it's Professor Mara Livesey.
Hello, hello.
Hello. And so the weather you have many hundreds of miles away is pretty much the same that we have, just happening a little earlier.
That's right.
I'm interested to know what you're doing there.
Yes. There's a new baby in the family. My brother and sister-in-law have a child. Luca. So I flew out. I just got my negative COVID test yesterday so we can go join their pod.
Nice. Yeah. Mara has carefully planned for this for many months, many, many months. So
this is true.
Congratulations, Teta. That's what I say.
Thank you.
Professor Beth Oljar is here with us today.
Hello.
What's going on, Beth?
Not a whole lot. Glad I got through midterm grades and I'm still here. So
I hear that. I hear that. Midterm grades. Stress for everyone, plus the pandemic. It's been quite a couple of weeks here. Quite a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. With a lot of essays I had to read.
You know, I figured you were going to say something like that, which was going to be my transition to introducing Professor Dave Chow, because, you know, he has all sorts of grading that he has to do these days.
No, I don't. None. None whatsoever. Actually, I take that back. I had to do 3 workshops at the alma mater this week. Because it's spring break, and for their kids' spring break, they get to take various workshops with working professionals. They chose me, I have no idea. So
well, we're happy to have you either way.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
And we are joined today by our guest panelist, Professor Amanda Heiber from the Department of English. Thanks for joining us, Amanda.
Thank you. Hello.
How have things been for you over this wonderful, wonderful, easy, straightforward academic year and past couple of weeks?
Wow. You know, they've been okay. I don't have kids, so that has made the pandemic much easier than people with kids. But, you know, I'm excited to get back to campus.
Of course. Absolutely. Students said something to me today, Amanda, to the effect of, I've heard a rumor, and I'm like, oh, I really hate it when you guys start talking that way. That we're going to be in person for fall. I'm like, go ahead. Yeah, sure. Have fun with that. That's great. Right. Let's push that rumor as far as it'll go.
Are we? I mean,
I believe that there's a really good chance that that could happen.
I think there's a good chance, yes.
I mean, I just wasn't confident about the ability to get enough people vaccinated by the end of August, but, you know, we're certainly going mega gangbusters.
There you go.
And if not, we start bathing Jim regularly.
Jim just exudes vitamin C. That's why he's so sweet.
I wouldn't mind not having to figure out how to teach symbolic logic online.
That'd be a tough one.
I'll do it.
Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways, emailing us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook or Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. We have a set of questions, professors. Hello, professors.
Hello.
So we meet again. The 6th part of my great saga set forth by this former UDM student awaits you. As with several sets of questions passed, I put forth the challenge to you to answer 20 questions from various categories, ranging from history and landmarks all the way to pop culture. Since part 1, I have raised the bar to 18 or 19 out of 20 that would guarantee a pass for you.
Good grief.
To make it out alive, I know, figuratively speaking. So buckle up, professors, and let the games begin. Best wishes. Of course, this is Natalie Bohe, Detroit Mercy alumna from 2011 from Sterling Heights, Michigan. So let's see what we can do with these questions. This question is about the Coptic Orthodox Church. She actually gave us subcategories for each one of these.
That's Egyptian.
Orthodox.
Right?
Yes. Coptic is Egyptian. That's right.
Yes.
Who was the leader of the Coptic Orthodox Church from 1971 until death in 2012? Incredible.
Ooh.
Probably not Golda Meir.
No, probably not. She's not Henny Youngman.
I'm going to give partial credit if you can guess, because it's basically Pope style. So there's a little Roman numeral at the end. You know what I mean? If you can even get the Roman numeral, we're good.
12.
IV.
Metropolitan something 26. The fourth.
Pontius Marcus.
Should we go for a prime number or not?
I said you were close, Dave. It's Shenouda III, who was the 117th Pope of the Coptic Orthodox Church.
Wow.
So there you go. Shenouda III. I already know what I'm naming my next goldfish.
I thought Enzo was going to get another little brother. That's awesome.
Yeah, you were going to say child, but okay.
How about this question, a little more mainstream on the subject of beverages?
That wouldn't be hard.
What Hawaiian-themed juice brand featured three different flavors and was originally owned by Ocean Spray?
Hawaiian Punch.
Yeah.
See, that was my guess, too, but it's not Hawaiian Punch. It's a little bit too straightforward.
What is
Is
it some coconut water?
Sunny Delight.
No.
I think of another fruit punch.
Hawaiian.
Yeah, I know.
It's actually a classic sort of Hawaiian saying, if you know a little bit of Hawaiian.
What, like Fago Aloha or something, or one of those?
Mahalo.
No.
Coconut water.
Coconut water.
We're not doing very well. What's a two-word Hawaiian saying where the two words start with the letters M and L?
Mauna Loa.
Mahalai. Yeah, so that's basically what it was. Originally owned by Ocean Spray. So I'm, very generous midterm grading mood. I'm giving us that one. How about in the subject of animation?
Ooh.
Some of you know that Walt Disney's first animated feature, and the very first animated feature film in Technicolor, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, debuted in 1937. It was released nationwide early the next year. But when the film was screened at New York City's Radio City Music Hall, something unusual had happened to the film. What was it?
It was suddenly in black and white.
Nope. I think that we may have had a dangling modifier or two. I apologize. It actually has to do with the place where the film was screened, now that I see the correct response here. So something had changed about Radio City Music Hall.
What, the Rockettes suddenly performed in front of it or something like that? I mean,
no.
Was it smaller? Did it seat fewer people than?
Getting close. I'll tell you what, Beth, it had something to do with the seats.
They're too close to the screen.
They didn't have enough for everyone who was at the premiere?
No,
they faced didn't have backwards.
This is a good piece of movie trivia, and it kind of reminds you, we've all seen, we've heard, I suppose, because there was nobody filming it, that one of the very first motion pictures that Thomas Edison ever took was of a train coming by, and that people screamed and ran away when they saw it for the first time because they thought it was a real train. They had never seen a recorded image before. You're not going to believe this, but all the seats had been replaced in their upholstery because the first time the movie had been shown, it was marketed as a children's film, and they were terrified of the witch, and they
wet the seats. They
had to change the upholstery.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that wild?
That is.
Yeah.
Once we got to the upholstery, I knew what was coming around the corner.
What happened with Gone with the Wind? The flying monkeys.
The Wizard of Oz, Jim.
Right.
I mean, Wizard of Oz, I'm sorry.
That's what I was thinking. Did I miss the
flying monkeys that were harassing Scarlet? I don't remember that part.
We knew what you meant, Jim.
You're listening to a special edition of Ask the Professor, in which each of the 9 professors participating in this episode were connecting to each other from different locations thanks to Zoom video conferencing technology. We're grateful to those listeners who submitted questions for today's show, and we welcome your questions at atp@udmercy.edu. Now, let's return to our host, Matt Mayo, with more questions for the panel.
How about a little biology, even though we don't have Stephanie here with us today? This small mammal has a force quotient of 164. It can slay prey bigger than its own size. What is this creature?
It's Jupiter. A weasel.
Oh, it is. It's a weasel. Absolutely. It's a weasel.
Wow.
And Jupiter.
Yeah, and Jupiter.
Right.
And let me tell you, it is a weasel of a very interesting type. It is known as the least weasel.
The least weasel.
There's confidence building for you.
Oh my gosh. How about some medieval history, Heather?
Yeah, I'm scared.
Who was the king of Sicily from 1130 to 1154 AD? Same first name as a famous portrayer of James Bond.
Sean?
Not Sean.
Roger?
Roger.
Oh, okay.
Roger the second, although I got to say that seems a little weird to read.
It wasn't going
to
be Pierce, was it?
No.
Oh.
This was Roger the second of Sicily. Of course. Of course.
It doesn't seem like a super Sicilian name.
No.
Yeah.
It really doesn't.
Like little Roger's Pizza doesn't sound right.
I can't get over the fact that we're making fun of Roger's Pizza when, A, the internet will show us there's probably 1,000 Roger's Pizza in the United States, and B, anybody who lives close to Royal Oak knows there's a Benito's Pizza in Royal Oak. Ay, caramba. How about a little botany? The beloved nut, the pecan, comes from a tree native to northern Mexico and southern United States near the Mississippi River region. What is the scientific name for that tree?
Good grief.
Mara, you're close in California. Go find out.
Yeah, just give me a couple days.
How about I spiff up the question a little bit and say, in the, I nearly said the medieval name. Great. The scientific name for the pecan, the name of an American state appears in the name.
Arborus californius.
That you're so close, Jeff. I feel like I have to give it to you, but it's, for whatever reason, Illinoisensis is the name of the pecan.
Illinois.
I thought it would be South Carolina.
Does it grow in Illinois?
Right.
Does it?
I don't think pecans grow in Illinois.
We knew it wasn't Alaska, so I mean.
Yeah, but it's biological taxonomy. It doesn't have to make sense, right?
True.
That's right.
It must make sense. There's not one.
Okay. Hop off is the name of this question. A rabbit named Darius, who lives in the United Kingdom, has been recorded to be the largest rabbit in the world. What kind of breed is Darius?
Siberian Husky.
The Husky rabbits.
There are some.
Rabbitus giganticus.
There is and a again, giant rabbit. I mean, there's a breed.
It's a combination of Jim and Beth's statement. It's they're called the continental giant. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I was going to wait for like the Chernobyl bunny or something like that.
How big are we talking?
You know, I wish that was what the question was asking, because that would be interesting. But it's
Barney
not
Leader
here.
Has bunnies, so I kind of got interested in bunnies after being at his house and holding one of the bunnies.
How about a little film again? This film was the only cinematic project for whom Theodore Seuss Geisel did any of the artwork for.
Cat in the Hat? No, let's see. Hold on. What did...
It's a live action film.
Well, like Tom and Jerry, what, Dancing with, let's see, hold on.
It's a live-action film that debuted in 1953. I'm sort of surprised. This is a good chunk of trivia. I thought that you would know this.
Well, that was before
the Grinch. Was it a Dr. Seuss story? Can we ask that?
It is. It basically was a Dr. Seuss story that was made for the movie. Like, if Dr. Seuss was going to make a live action movie in the 50s, this was going to be it.
The Lorax.
As you'll go.
Yeah, the Lorax. That's the thing I was trying to think of, because that was remade recently.
Yeah, what's a Horton book?
Horton Hears a Who?
You know, it in the end was not made into a book, Amanda. It was called The 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T. It's basically a cult film now. It tells the story of a boy named Bart who's made to practice the piano, but when he falls asleep, he dreams he's in a surreal world with his piano teacher as a mad dictator.
Weird stuff. A lot of us had that experience. It was called music class.
Or a dissertation.
Oh, my gosh. All right, let's go slightly more mainstream than that, although I'm surprised that none of you brought up any of the recent headlines concerning Theodore Seuss Geisel.
Oh, please. It was the family that decided to pull the books, not the Democrats.
Right. folks, Plato, the play Clay, not the philosopher, was originally used or marketed for what purpose?
It was a cleaning agent, wasn't it?
Yeah. Do you know what it was supposed to clean, Dave?
It was supposed to, was it dust collection or something like that?
That's right, but for a very specific thing that needed dusting at the
cars.
Time.
Cars. Car ventilation?
Chalkboards?
Siberian Husky fur pickup.
Possibly. No, you know, it was there to help you clean your wallpaper, which was going to be a big deal at that time, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
Who has wallpaper anymore?
A lot of people.
There's a comeback. There's a wallpaper comeback.
Big comeback, yeah.
That's right.
Sorry, I belong in a painting household over here, so.
I belong in a painting household.
Wallpaper dusting was a big concern at that point.
You dust your walls?
Well, that was the issue of the era.
I suppose the texture of it could make you need a unique product, though Plato would not have been what I would have thought.
Huh.
See, Mara, we keep the dust on our walls for insulation value.
That's right.
This is something they could have used Siberian Husky for.
True. Who were the first African American female and male to win an Academy Award?
Hattie McDaniel
and Sidney Poitier.
You know, it doesn't say Sidney Poitier here. It says for the male that it's James Baskett. Do you remember what film he was in?
No.
Hold on. Now, that being said, does it have to be an actor?
Actor or best actor? Or just the...
An Academy. Yeah.
Oh, as a supporting... Maybe it's
Sidney Poitier was first best actor, African-American.
Or it could even be music score, right? I mean...
Yeah, exactly.
It could be anything. And I believe that we are actually talking about an actor who is relegated to supporting in terms of the win. James Baskett was Uncle Remus in Disney's Song of the South.
Oh,
which is super rare to get now. So,
in any other world of watching that film, I have seen it once a long, long time ago. You would say, that guy's the main character. But no. Supporting actor. You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, to Brer Rabbit? Really?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Crazy. Before Colgate put out toothpaste and other products for oral hygiene, what products did Colgate sell?
Soap.
Jim Tubbs bathwater.
That's right. It was soap. Actually, they had a weird niche industry using the, the manufacturing tools they had to make soap and candy.
Oh, great. Glad they didn't get them mixed up.
Yeah. Talk about wash your mouth out.
There we go. I knew it was coming.
I've had that done. It is not fun. Hasn't anybody else ever had their mouth washed out with soap?
Don't do it by accident.
I always recall the part in A Christmas Story where Ralphie is recounting having his mouth washed out, talking about the piquant flavor of Lifebuoy.
And of course, he's blind at the end. And he said, "What happened?" He said, "It was the Lifebuoy."
Yeah, that was it. Poisoning. Made him blind.
That's how I lost my eyesight.
I told you should have used the Palmolive.
That's so great. That's such a great line. Oh my gosh! Of course, it reminds me of the I'm starting for whatever reason because the students forced me. Right? every one of my lectures this semester with a curated off the internet dad joke. And today's dad joke was, I accidentally sprayed deodorant in my mouth this morning. And when I started talking, I had an axe scent. Thank you very much. You know, our next question is a video daily double. This is pretty interesting. What is this fruit?
Durian.
It is. It's a durian.
I've eaten that before.
Why would you show that to me?
Right. Mara is you know how I feel. Scared of durian. Tell us about durian, Mara.
They have the flavor of rotting carcasses mixed with trash.
Yeah, that's not
tasted.
Yeah. I mean, my father, who dared eat anything and everything, he tried that twice and spat him out twice.
Wow.
Mm. And he tried everything, and that was one thing he would not stomach ever.
I feel.
And when I went to China, I tried it, and it was tolerable. I've also heard other god-awful descriptors about it, too, and...
I think, why try it? You know, I mean,
advertising. Why would it
looks like it doesn't want you to try it?
Yes, exactly.
And it's actually banned on a lot of like public transportation too.
Yeah, I can see why.
Gosh, if you accidentally drop that on someone's head, they're gonna be bleeding.
It's a medieval weapon. So.
Yeah.
All right, professors, one more. Natalie always tortures us with this high level trivia. This one is doable. In the United Kingdom, you won't be able to go to the grocery store and buy eggplants and zucchini, but you will be able to go to the grocery store and buy
aubergine and
zucchini.
What's another fancy word for zucchini in green or something?
I just love the fact that they're both, and this is the only hint I think I can give you, clearly French words.
Yeah.
But it's the United Kingdom.
Where? I don't know. What's French?
What's French for green, Amanda?
Courgette.
They're courgettes. Yeah, they are courgettes.
Nice. Hey, what do you know?
Got it.
What is that?
And by the way,
you used your phone.
No.
I cheated. Cheating. I'm bad.
Well, I mentioned this before. Based on how wonderful, you know, having grown up Italian, continuing to be Italian,
and not having a choice,
cooking is, the Italians are not very creative when it comes to their zucchera, their squash. Everything is zucchini. Everything. They don't have different names. It's like, that's the brown one. That's the one that's shaped like this. It's all zucchera. Basically,
what you mean, like durian in Italian is like zucchera? I mean, what?
No. Durian is not a squash. All right, durian is not a squash. You got to get serious.
Slice it thin, fry it up. It's good. Doesn't matter the color. You don't need a few names for this.
Zucchini bread, yummy.
Exactly. Holy smokes, we definitely filled more than just one episode here, professors. I'm afraid the time has come for us to say goodbye, Heather.
Bye-bye.
Jeff.
Arrivederci.
Jim.
Goodbye.
Stephen.
Bye.
Mara.
Adieu.
Beth.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Dave.
See ya.
And Amanda.
Bye.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.